Today Shem Sakta Chulun Daf Beis. And we will, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, begin on Daf Beis. I'm an Aleph, new Masechta. We begin, Mitzvah Hashem, learning Masechta Chulun. As we know, Masechta Chulun primarily discusses the halachas of Shechita, the halachas of what is and what isn't a kosher animal, and other basic concepts involved in the kashrus, and kashrus in the food that we eat. Of course, the obvious question is, why is Masechta Chulin in Kachim, and say the Kachim? And moreover, although we, Baruch Hashem, finished learning Masechta Zvachim and Masechta Menachos, we still have many more Masechtas of Kachim that are relevant to Kabbonis that we still need to learn. So shouldn't have we first finished learning the Masechtas about Kabbonis and then Mitzvah Hashem learned Chulin? So I saw a number of answers. Some Rishonim suggest because it follows the Pasuk. The Pasuk speaks about Vezavachta, about Shechting Kabbonis, and then the Pasuk goes on to discussing the Halacha of Shechting Kabbonis of Chulin, and then the Torah goes back to discussing Bechairis. So we're following the order of the Pasuk. Other Mepharshim suggest it's very much connected to the Gemara that we learned at the end of our previous Masechta, Masechta Menachos, where Halacha, the Gemara said, is Menayil Mas'asik. If somebody shechts a carbon without the proper intention, without shechting the carbon, l'shem carbon, the halacha is that it's not a valid carbon. By chulin, as we become very clear in the Mishnah, that type of intention is not required. So to show the difference between chulin and kachim, chulin belongs very much connected to the end of Masechta Menachos. But then there's a very fundamental answer that many Mepharshim suggest. Kachim, we all understand, is Kabbonis, Kedusha. Chulin is not Kedusha. On the contrary, Chulin, as the word applies, is mundane. It's what we eat and drink. But, as we all know, one of the fundamentals of our religion is B'chol Drachecha De'ehu, that even when a Jew eats a regular meal, a regular breakfast and a regular lunch and a regular supper, it isn't a regular meal. It's a meal that's supposed to be infused with Kedusha. So while we're in the middle of learning Masechta Chulin, while we're in the middle of learning Kachim, we stop and we speak about Chulin. And we say Chulin is part of Kachim. And just like Kachim, we can understand, represents Kedusha, Chulin as well represents Kedusha. There were those, the Sefer Chassidim discusses this, the Chassam Sofer discusses it, that would fast on the first day that they learned Masechta Chulin. Because Masechta Chulin will speak about killing, and Masechta Chulin will speak about animals that are not kosher. And of course, the Mepharshim also go on to say that sometimes in the heat of learning a shir, somebody uses himself as an example of how he shechts, uses his own neck as the example. So to prevent any chas v'shalom tzaris, they used to fast. Most people don't have the minig. Certainly, we who are learning in the Seder HaShas, we're going one Masechta after the other Masechta. Of course, we have the Koyach HaTzibur that all of Klal Yisrael together is learning this Masechta. The Koyach HaTzibur will certainly protect us. Masechta Chulin is a critical Masechta to the degree that I saw some Rishonim that said that they put Masechta Chulin into Seder Moyed because there were people who weren't learning all of Shas and they didn't learn Kachim, and to miss learning Masechta Chulin is missing learning something that's so critical. So they put Masechta Chulin into Mayit. We, Baruch Hashem, don't have to do that. We're learning all of the Starm, Be'ezer Hashem. When we speak about Chulin, when we speak about Shechita, I mean, there's a very fundamental Machloikus Rishonim. What is the mitzvah of Shechita? Is there a specific mitzvah of Shechita? Or is Shechita here, because the halach is that one may not eat meat which is a nevela. So how is that prevented by shechting the animal? In other words, is shechita a positive mitzvah or is shechita just the prevention of eating nevela? I did see that there are achronim that suggest that the question really comes up in the sequence of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the mitzvahs. Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu first say the mitzvah of shechita? And once Hashem said there's a mitzvah shechita, the halach is until you properly slaughter the animal, it's in the veila. Or was it the other way? Hashem said you're not allowed to eat meat. The Torah teaches us you're not allowed to eat meat that's in the veila. How do you prevent meat from being in the veila? By shechting it. At first glance, it seems that there's a very strong raya that shechita is a mitzvah saseh, that it in itself is a mitzvah. Why? Because we know that the halach is the one once shechs, you have to make a bracha. Ashik rishonim mitzvahis v'tzivanu al hashchita. If it's just the prevention of eating nevela, why do we make a bracha? Ashik rishonim mitzvahis v'tzivanu al hashchita. So those that hold that shechita is not a separate mitzvah answer that the reason the bracha is made, I saw three answers. Three explanations. One is because they follow the words of the Torah. The Torah says, v'zovachta v'achalta. So we're making a bracha following the words of the Torah. Another pshat that I saw is that this debate, if shechita is a separate mitzvah or not, is only regarding chulin. When we speak about kachim, as we discussed so extensively, shechting kachim is certainly a separate mitzvah. So since by kachim we make a bracha, so by chulin we make a bracha as well. And then I saw a third pshat, which is a beautiful pshat. When one shechts an animal in order to eat it, he's not making the bracha because of the mitzvah shechita. It could well be that shechita is not a separate mitzvah. The reason he's making a bracha, because it's like a berachas hananin. He's thanking Hashem that he gave us the food to make a bracha, to get the animal that we could shecht and ultimately eat. And actually there's a raya to this teretz. Because we know the halacha is that by all birchas and mitzvahs, one has to stand when he says the bracha. Put on tefillin, you have to stand. You put on tzitzis, you have to stand. When you shecht, you don't have to stand when you make the bracha. Just like you don't have to stand when you make a birchas hananin. So it's somewhat of a raya that the bracha on shechita is not a birchas and mitzvahs, it's a birchas hananin. There's actually another raya from the Taz, a very fundamental Taz. The Rambam says, we're going to learn in the Mishnah in a moment, that somebody who's a cheresh, and we'll define a cheresh as being an individual who can't hear or speak, a deaf mute, shouldn't shecht l'chatchila. What about an ilim, someone who rachman l'tzlan can't speak? What about him making shtuin shchita, making a bracha? So he can't make a bracha because he unfortunately can't speak. But the Rambam, as the Mefarshi HaRambam explained, says that the ilim should shecht, and somebody else should make the bracha. As the Mefarshim, we find by Trumas and Maisris that the halacha is that you have to make a bracha when you take off Trumas and Maisris. And there the Rishonim say that we shouldn't rely on an Elaim doing the hafrosha, doing the separation, and somebody else making the bracha. Why? The Rambam says one person should do the act and another person making the bracha. Says the Taz, there's a difference between the hafrosha of Trumas Maisris and Shechita. Hafrosha Trumas and Maisris is a mitzvah. And there the halacha l'chatchil is that the one doing the mitzvah should make the bracha. And therefore the Rishonim say that if the Elaim is going to do the hafrosha and somebody else is going to make the bracha, it's not the chatchila. However, shechita, as we're learning, is not a separate mitzvah. It's only here that we shouldn't eat nevela. So there we don't have a problem if one person makes the shechita and another person makes the bracha. Actually, we start to learn Masechet Chulin, but we don't start with the halacha of the basic halachas of shechita. We actually start with the halachas of who should shecht, who could shecht, who shouldn't shecht, when shechita could take place. And I think, again, perhaps the lesson why we start with those halachas and not starting with the basic halachas of shechita is because, again, the Masechet is trying to teach us that who is involved in the shechita, who infuses the food with Kedusha is what's crucial in understanding our attitude towards eating. But to tell you the five basic issues that there are in Shechita, and we're going to encounter them already in today's Shia, the Shia. Shia means that you paused in the middle of the act of Shechita. Drasa means that instead of going with a back and forth motion, Halacha Vayvah, in killing the animal, you pressed the knife. There's a halacha of hagroma, where you don't, where you, where you don't cut the animal on the proper place on its neck, either too high or too low. There's an issue of chalada, where instead of cutting the trachea and the esophagus, the cun and the veshit, you sort of furrow the knife in, and that's how you shecht. And then there's ikur, where instead of cutting, you rip, which in practical hilcha shechita is probably the most common issue. Why is it the most common issue? Because we know that when we shecht, and we'll discuss this in tomorrow's shiur, the knife has to be a perfectly sharp knife. It's not allowed to have any pegimus. It's not allowed to have any nicks in it. Why is this such a big deal if the knife isn't perfectly sharp? Because if the knife is not perfectly sharp, then the shechit is considered an ikur and not a ma'isa shechita. So we begin our masechta be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach. Hakol shochtem, everybody is allowed to do the shechita, the shechitas and shechera, and the shechita is considered a kosher shechita. Tosfos quotes a hilchas Eretz Yisrael that says the women shouldn't shecht. Interesting to note that in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch paskens that women may shecht. The Ramah says that women machmer, that women should not shecht. There are rishonim that differentiate when the woman is shechting on her own behalf versus when the woman is shechting for someone else. And we could be more lenient when the woman is shechting than she's going to partake in that meat. There are rishonim, interestingly, that say that women may shecht kachim. It's actually a mishnah mesecht zvachim. And they may not shecht chulin. Chutz, micheresh, as I said before, a cheresh is an individual who can't, a deaf mute, who can't hear or can't speak. There's a machloikas achroinim, if bizman hazeh, where there are schools where these people could be trained, if they may shecht. A shaita, we know that the Gemara Masechta Chagiga, beginning of Masechta Chagiga, identifies various traits of what makes a person a shaita. Halon yichidi b'beis ha'kvaris, he sleeps in the beis ha'kvaris. Hayotz yichidi b'layla, he goes out. Hamakari, he tears his clothing. But as all the mefarshim clearly indicate, a shaita is only a person is a shaita if he does it on a consistent basis. I guess all of us sometimes do foolish things. If you do something foolish once, it doesn't make you into a shaita. A shaita is somebody who does it on a consistent basis. The Rambam says that included in the category of a shaita is a shikr, someone who's drunk. Machloik is how to understand that Rambam. Does the Rambam mean only someone who higia l'shikrusay shaloit, who's so intoxicated that he doesn't really understand what's happening? Or some Rishonim suggest that even if somebody just drank, and he isn't that drunk, but as we'll see in our Sugyas of Mitzvah Shem, shechting requires a certain amount of talent, and shechting requires a certain amount of attention, and once your head isn't clear, you shouldn't shecht. The cotton. A cotton, interesting machlokes, who is included in a cotton? Pashut Pshat, the Rishonim say that a cotton includes anybody below 13 years old, anybody below 13 years old. However, I did see that there are chroinim that say that you should not have someone shecht when he's under 16, or certainly when he's under, and some say even under 18, again, because shechita requires a level of responsibility. The Mordechai quotes his Rebbe, Reb Eldad Ha'adoni, who says that once somebody is 80 years old, he should no longer shecht. Because once somebody comes to that old age, we can't be sure that his hands are able to shecht properly. I did see that there are poskim that differentiate appointing someone as a shaychit when he's that age versus removing somebody from the position. With a halacha, and we'll discuss this in the Masechta Mitzvah Shem, I hope, the halacha takes a stricter view about taking somebody away from the position versus appointing somebody to a position. What is the concern? Shema yakalkalu shchitasan. We're concerned that they may not shecht properly. Here too, the Rishonim pose a question. Why does the Mishnah use the word shema yakalkalu in the future? Why don't they use the past tense? That if they're going to shecht, we have to be concerned that perhaps that they didn't shecht properly. So I saw Machlokes Rishonim how to understand this. Rashi explains, because we're concerned that even though the Mishnah is about to teach us that observing their shechita is some sort of an option, we still can't be sure that observing the Shechita will be able to tell us everything was done properly, and therefore we shouldn't rely on the Shechita even when we know that we're going to be observing the Shechita. Tosfos takes a different approach. Tosfos' approach is that when is there a concern? The concern is that if they're shechting for us to eat meat, and we have to eat kosher meat, we have to be concerned that they're going to shecht, they don't know how to shecht properly. But what happens if they're not shechting for Jews? They're shechting for goyim. They're shechting for animals. They don't have to eat kosher meat. So maybe we'll think that they're allowed to shecht. Teaches us the Mishnah we shouldn't appoint them as shechting. Why? Because if you and I see these people shechting, we don't know that they're not shechting for Jews. We're going to think that they're shechting for Klai Yisrael to eat, and we may come to make an error that they're qualified shechtim. Therefore, we shouldn't allow them to shecht. The kulin sheshechtu, but the evidence if they shechted, the chayim roynaisam, and others observed them shechting, the loch is shechitasim shared the shechita the kasher shechita. Even though the word v'chayim roynaisam, the words v'chayim roynaisam seem to indicate a loshen rabbim, that you have to have two people observing them, it's clear in all the paiskim that one person observing them is adequate. Interesting question is, why is the halacha that one person may be a shaychet? Because even though in halacha we know there is a rule of eid echad nem bisurin, that we could trust an individual, when is there a halacha that eid echad nem bisurin? Only when it's lo yischazik isura, when it hasn't been established that the food is osur. That means, you come home tonight for supper, and there's no reason to believe that the food that was prepared for dinner isn't kosher. Eid echad nem bisurin. Your wife tells you it's kosher, she doesn't have to tell you. It's kosher, eid echad nem bisurin. But we know that behema b'chayeo, b'chesker iser imedis. So there's a cheskes iser that this animal is not kosher. So how can we rely on the eid echad? So the Rishonim already deal with this question, the Rishonim and the Achronim. I saw a number of terutzim. One teretz, a very fundamental teretz, is that even though technically we ought not to rely here on an eid echad, still, since who do we typically appoint as a shaychet? We appoint as a shaychet somebody who's a Yerushimayim, one of the first halachas in Hilchos Shechita. There, when it's somebody of such caliber, even when it's a chazak isura, the halacha is eid echad nem bisurin. One teretz. Another teretz that the Rishonim suggest is that since it's b'yodei l'sakin, the person can make the shechita, even though he can't shecht this animal again, it's already slaughtered, but since he has the ability to shecht, then there is no halacha of his chazak isura. The third teretz, the Pnei Yeshua suggests a very nice teretz. When do we say eid echad is not nem bisurin when it's his chazak isura? When we have a cheskes isur, and we have an eid echad. So halacha is that eid echad isn't strong enough against the cheskes isur. But let's think about this situation. In this situation, that cheskes isur was changed because the animal was slaughtered. So it's not such a strong cheskes isur, and therefore eid echad is nema. Begins the Gemara be'ezer Hashem. Hakel shochtim. So the Gemara says the words hakel shochtim seem to indicate that l'chatchila, that the people we're going to speak about l'chatchila meishecht. Most Rishonim, that's the way we're going to learn the Gemara, that's the way Rashi learns the Gemara, are medayik this from the word hakel. Hakel means l'chatchila. Others learn that the deik is from the word shochtim. Shachtim seems to teach us the l'chatchila you may shecht that way. But then ask the Gemara, let's continue learning the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah says, k'shitasim k'sheira, which means it's only d'yevit. So how do we reconcile this first sentence of the Mishnah? Amle rav ach b'rei de rav ala rav ashi, v'kol hakol l'chatchilahu. Is it indeed true that whenever the Mishnah uses the word l'hakol, that it means l'chatchila? And it's interesting to note, Tosfos makes this point on Amud Beis, that this Gemara is a raya, that Rav Ashi was the one that was Masada Shas. Because we don't find that Rav Ashi is the one that asked this question. That Rav Acha addresses Rav Ashi in answering the question. It must be, because when we have a question in Shas, and it's written anonymously, and we don't know who wrote it, we should assume it was Rav Ashi. Amalei Rav Acha Brei the Rav Rav Ashi, your entire supposition is somewhat difficult. The kol l'chatchilahu, is that true that whenever the Mishnah uses the word hakol, it means l'chatchila? El ma'ata. We know, we've discussed many times, the Torah speaks about a parasha of Temura. that the Torah says that if we have an animal that's kachim, lo yamirenu, v'lo yachafenu, we ought not to substitute another animal for that animal. But the halacha teaches us the Torah, v'm hama yomar isai, if you do so, v'hayuhu smarasa yoye kaidish. Both the original animal and the second animal is kaddish. Says the Mishnah, Hakel Mamirim, the first Mishnah of Masechta Temurim, everybody's allowed to make Temurah. The Gemara Masechta Temurah explains who is included with the words Hakel Mamirim. Included with that is a Yairish, even though I wasn't the one that designated this animal as Kaidish, I was only a Yairish. Echer HaNoshim v'Echer Noshim, both men and women. Why do we need to have a special limud that women are included? Explained the Rishonim. Because since the halacha by Temurah is that there are many situations where Temurah is not valid. One example is an animal that's owned by shutfim, by partners. So we would think maybe women as well are excluded. Needs the Mishnah to teach us that women are included in the parasha of Temurah. Says the Gemara, Hachanami d'l'chatchilahu. Can we think that that Mishnah is teaching us that Temurah may be done l'chatchila? V'ksiv, we know, and we just quoted this earlier, Layech lefenu v'lay yamar oisoy, toiv v'rav rabatoiv, that one should not l'chatchila make a temura. So you see that the Mishnah uses the words hakom amirim, and it certainly doesn't mean that it should be done l'chatchila. Answers the Gemara, hasakur etanim tamam. The Mishnah itself gives you the answer. Because the Mishnah continues in teaching us, lo sha adam rishay lahamir. It's not to say that Temurah is permitted. Alashem Hamer, if it was done, it's considered mumer, a valid act, the Saifik Esarboim. So in other words, what the Gemara is suggesting at this point is that it could well be that when the Mishnah uses the word hakol, it means even lechatchila. I over there clearly doesn't mean lechatchila. The Mishnah gives you the answer. So the obvious question, and Rashi and Tosfos both ask it, why do we need that the Mishnah should say hakol mamirim? And then the Mishnah should right away tell you, but don't make the mistake. Did you allow to do it l'chatchila? Don't say it and don't make any mistakes. So Rashi answers, because it's the derech of Shas to always start a Mishnah that way. Like our Mishnah starts that way. So we had no choice but to say it. Tosfos says a different answer. Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam. Tosfos says that we would think that if somebody intentionally made a temura, he should have, that he knows you're not supposed to. And he did it anyway, it shouldn't be valid. So that's why the Mishnah teaches us that even though the person who did it knew he ought not to do it, it's still considered a valid act. Tosfos and other Rishonim asked the question, why is he only Saifik as Harboim? He should get 80 Makis. The Tulavin, Lo Yamirenu, V'lo Yachlifenu. He was saying you only get 40, one set of Malkis. So I saw a number of Terutzim. Some Rishonim say that the point is not to teach us how many Malkus you're getting. That's not the point of the Mishnah. Indeed, you'll get two set of Malkus. Ramban says that, Teretz. Tosfos says that Lo Yamirenu V'lo Yachlifenu speak to two different situations. Lo Yamirenu is when I make a Temura on an animal that I was Magdish, and Lo Yachlifenu is when I make a Temura on the animal of somebody else. So they're exclusive of each other, so you can never get two sets. But if it's mine, I'll get Lo Yamirenu. If it was yours, it'll be Lo Yachlifenu. Other Rishonim say that actually, why is there a Malkus on Temurah? The Gemara we learned in Masechta Malkus says that a lav hanitik lasei, there's no Malkus. So this is a lav hanitik lasei. Because the Torah says, v'im hama yomar esoi, v'hayuhu smarasi yir kaidish. And therefore they suggest lo yachifanu is a lav hanitik lasei, for which there's no Malkus. There's only Malkus for lo yamirena. The Meshech Chachma, I think it's Meshech Chachma, takes a different approach. He says as follows. It's a lav shem b'maisa, it's just talk. Just what happens. It's not just talk, because I'm actually transferring the Kedusha. And therefore suggest the Meshech Chachma, the Filoyam, no, it's not the Meshech Chachma, it's the Kilsi Yaakov, the Stipler. Filoyam Irenu, it's not considered a Lav Shev Emaisa, because I'm creating a situation. I'm making the animal Kaddish. Layichaflenu remains a Lav Shev Emaisa, and that's why there's no Malkus, and that's why indeed the Mishnah says there's only one set. So this isn't a proof one way and another. Ella, the first Mishnah Masech to Erchin. We know that the Torah, Parshas B'chukaisai, teaches us the Parsha of Erchin. Erchin is that every person, based on their age and on their gender, has an assigned value. Teaches us the Mishnah. Hakol Marichin, everybody can be Marich. The Gemara says that the halacha, what do we need to say? Hakol marichim. So Gemara Masechta Erechin teaches us that even somebody who's only a mufla, samuklish, that you have a child who's 12 years old, who isn't an adult in the eyes of halacha, but if he's an intelligent 12-year-old, his erech is considered a valid erech. Interesting to note, a machloikus achroinim, the Michas Chinuch, and Reb Chaim Oizen, the Sefer Achiezer. Our Gemara is teaching us that a mufla samach l'ish, this Mishnah is teaching us that a mufla samach l'ish can make an erech. That's fine. The question is, will he be responsible to pay it? Because he's still a child. Michas Chinuch says a child's business transaction don't have any validity. And therefore, even though his erech is considered a valid erech, it's only valid to the term that if he actually pays it, that money will become hegdish. We can't force him to pay it. The Achiezer disagrees. He connects it to the concept of Amiras L'Gavoya, Kamisaras L'Hegyet. There's no kinyan required, and it is a full-fledged obligation. V'Narochim, even somebody who's a Mikushchin, who has absolutely no value, but as I said a moment ago, the Torah assigns a value to every individual. It makes no difference what he's really worth. It could be the subject of an Erech. Noidrin, everybody can make a neder. The Gemara says in Masechta Nedarim that this word is added here, even though it doesn't come to teach us anything. V'nidarim. What does v'nidarim mean? The Torah, when it speaks about the parasha Erech, doesn't speak about a child that's less than a month old. And therefore, if somebody says the Erech of a child that's less than a month old, I'm responsible, it's a meaningless statement. Because there is no Erech for a child that's less than a month old. But Nidrin, how do we determine the value? How do we determine Nidrin? We look at what he's valued in the market. Actually, a child that's less than a month old may be very valuable. He has a long life of Mitzvah Shem ahead of him. And therefore, the Mishnah is teaching us, and this is the way the Ramban explains that Mishnah, that even though the Torah has said that a Mukashchin has a value by Erech, so we see that maybe the halachas of Erech and Dover and Nidrin should travel together, and therefore we would think that a child that's less than a month old, since the Torah went out of its way saying that a Mukashchin is the subject of an Erech, and a child less than a month old is not the subject of an Erech, he certainly should not be the subject of a Neder, teaches us one has nothing to do with the other. However, Hachinami, are we going to say that when the Mishnah uses those words there, it means l'chatchila you should do this? V'ksiv, ask the Gemara, doesn't the Torah teach us, v'chisechtel nindar lo'yir b'chachet, if you make a neder, you won't have an avera. V'ksiv, and there's a pasuk in Kehelis, toivash le'tidar m'shetidav le'tishalam, it's better not to make any nedarim than to make a neder and not pay. And as Tosfos points out, if I'm quoting a pasuk in the Chumash, in the Torah, why do I also have to bring a pasuk from Kehelis? Tosfos just makes the observation. The Mefarshim try to explain what Tosfos is saying. So some say that Tosfos means to say a very simple statement, that we find many times in the Gemara, that the Gemara brings a proof both from a pasuk in Chumash, in the Torah, and the Torah and the Gemara brings a pasuk from Nach. Others say, the Rosh says this part, that the pasuk of Chisech and Ninda Layib HaChet is not a compelling proof that there's an Avera making a Neder. Because the Pasuk is just teaching us, but it could be if you make a Neder, you'll get a Mitzvah. The second Pasuk is much more powerful, where the Pasuk says, B'tanya, the Brisa says, the best is, not to make any Nedarim. Divrei Rameya. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rameya. The best is, yes, to make Nedarim, but to pay him. Says the Gemara, the feel of Rabbi Yehuda, even Rabbi Yehuda says that making the Dharma is a good thing, like Kamel by Maharezu. But somebody says, we know, we've discussed this numerous times, that there's a difference between Harezu and Harei Alai. When somebody says Harezu, so he's designating something specific. So now, as most Rishonim explain, I already designated it as Hegdish. So there's no reason to be worried about me not fulfilling my nether. I already fulfilled it. Something might happen to this item that I was menader, or that it may die. I don't have to replace it. But in a case, says Rabbi Yehuda, Avol Oymah Harai Elai, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree with Rameya not to make a nether. Why are we worried that he's not going to make a nether? Because he may not fulfill a nether. He may delay in fulfilling his nether, and he'll be over Baal Ta'achar. For Kol Hakol, so, and here by Erchi, explained the Rishonim, by definition, It means that I'm first saying erchi, my value, and then I'm going to take money. So even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that lechatchila shouldn't make it. So now let's understand our Gemara. The whole basis of our Gemara began that our Mishnah began with the words hakel shochtim, and we said it meant lechatchila. We see that the Mishnah uses the words hakel marichim, and it clearly doesn't mean lechatchila. So the whole question falls away. Before we go further, just to mention a few interesting points. We know that as long as Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar, they weren't allowed to eat basa taiva. What is the definition of basa taiva? You come home, you want a steak for supper. You couldn't have that in the Midbar. In the Midbar, if you wanted to eat meat, you had to bring a carbon shlamim. And by carbon shlamim, the owner gets a share of the meat. But the question is, when you bring a carbon shlamim, you have to make a neder. So how could they ever eat? We just learned making a neder is inappropriate. So I saw a number of teretz. One teretz is that that's part of what the Torah says. That's part of what the Torah says, that in the Midbar, nedarim are fine. One teretz. Another teretz is the way they did it, and the Gemara speaks about this in Masechet Chulin, Masechet Erchin, I'm sorry, is that Hillel, when he brought a carbon, would be magdish it a moment before the Shechita. So we don't have to worry that he's not going to bring it, because as the animal was there in the Azara, that's when he was magdish it. Another teretz that I saw, a very nice teretz. This is from Dar Samayach. He says a beautiful teretz. When are we concerned that somebody's not going to fulfill his nether? Somebody is menader a carbon. And then we're worried, you know what? He thinks about it. A carbon, I'll push it off. But here it's not the carbon that he's bringing. He's bringing supper. We don't have to worry the person's not going to fulfill his obligation to eat. When it's for yourself, you're careful to do it. But then, the Mefarsh and the Rishonim already ask, we all remember the parash in the Torah, where Yaakov Avinu makes a neder. V'yida Yaakov neder lemer. Im yiel akim emadi, v'akadosh baruch hu will be with me. V'shmerani b'derech hazesh, and yachayichli hoylech, and he'll protect me. V'nasunli lechem alecho lo beged lilbaish, he'll give me clothing and food. I'll give you meiser. So we see Yaakov Avinu made a neder. So how can we say that nedarim are inappropriate? So I saw a number of truths to this question as well. One is, there's in general an issue if we learn from before Matan Torah. And that was an event that took place before Matan Torah. Another teretz that I saw, and this is an important point, that if somebody makes a neder be'eis tzara, when he's in a dangerous situation, that neder is mutter. Yaakov Avinu was be'eis tzara. So he was allowed to make the nether. Similarly, the Rishonim say, if somebody makes a nether for precious to avoid doing something wrong, that's mutter. What's the raya? Naziris. What is Naziris all about? That he makes a nether, that he's not going to drink wine. It's for precious, it's mutter. Another teretz is that Yaakov Avinu was making the nether, again, very similar to the teretz I gave a moment ago. Not for Hashem's purpose, it was to protect himself. He viewed himself in a serious situation, and he felt, and that is the case, that is indeed the halacha, that by giving tzedakah, he could protect himself. So it's doing it for himself. There we don't have to worry that he won't fulfill the nether, and therefore the nether in such a situation is indeed appropriate. So now we're up to where we're learning that when the Mishnah says hakol, it's not l'chatchila. Ask the Gemara, is that indeed true? V'chol hakol lav l'chatchilahu, is that true? Ella, the Mishnah begins Masechta Sukkah, Hakel Chayavim B'Sukkah, everybody has to sit in the Sukkah. And we learned there it means that cotton she'enet tzarech li'imai, a cotton that doesn't need his mother, has to sit in the Sukkah. Machlaikis Harushainim, why is that the age? Some learn very simple, that once a child comes to that age, that's the age of Chinuch. Others say that if he still needs his mother, he's in the category of a mitzvah. We all know that Allah is a mitzvah, it's potem and a sukkah. Hakel chayov mesuk tzitzis. Everybody has to wear tzitzis. And again, there we learn, it means that a cotton hayudeilis atev, if a child is old enough to be able to know how to put on the talus, that's when he has to buy tzitzis. And again, the Brisker Rav explains, it's not to say that ituf is such an integral part of the mitzvah, but rather cotton hayudeilis atev is a shear. That once somebody comes to that age, that he's Yedei L'Sateif, he's Mechuyiv and Chinuch to buy him Tzitzis. Hachinami, the Lav L'Chatchila? How can we say that? Of course it's L'Chatchila. Says, well, that question isn't the question. Because there the Mishnah doesn't just use the word Hakol. The Mishnayos used the word hakel chayovim. Of course, when the Mishnah uses the words hakel chayovim, means l'chatchila. Our Mishnah didn't use the word l'chatchayovim. El me'ato asked the Gemara, it's still not so gishmak. Hakel somchim, we learned the Masechta Zvachim, that everybody has to make smicha when they bring a carbon. Echad anoshim, vechad anoshim. Hachinami, are you going to suggest, ask the Gemara, the lav l'chatchila, that l'chatchila smicha doesn't have to be done? For Ksib, doesn't the pasuk explicitly say, v'samach yodov v'nerza? So we see that it doesn't mean l'chatchila. So now we're completely confused. We've seen that in certain places hakel means only b'diavid, in certain places it means l'chatchila. Answers the Gemara, in. Ikka hakel l'chatchila. Sometimes the word hakel represents that it's l'chatchila, v'hakka hakel d'diavid. And sometimes it represents d'diavid. If that's the case, says the Gemara, the question that we began the shiur with is not a question anymore. Because we'll say that our Mishnah is one of those Mishnayos that describes hakel as a b'diavid. So that question falls away. So what is the question? Ela hakel d'hocha b'may d'l'chatchilihi. We don't have to define the hakel of our Mishnah that it means l'chatchila, the tikshalach, that then we'll have a question. Rather, we'll explain that the Dilma will explain that our Mishnah is the Evidhi, and there won't be any kasha. Amalei, so says Rav Ashi to Rav Acha, I never meant, that was never the question that I meant. My question was a different question. A non-shchitin ksherim kashali. My question was, the word shchitin ksherim is difficult. Midatani, once the Mishnah is going to teach us shchitas and kshera, that, and that clearly indicates that their shchit is only kasha with the Evid, shchitas and ksher the Evid, mekal, da'akol l'chatchilahu. It must be that when the Mishnah began with the words hakel shachtim, it means l'chatchila. That our Mishnah is one of the places that hakel means l'chatchila. For says Rav Ashi, di Evid, if the hakel shachtim of our Mishnah means the Evid, we have a very big problem. Tat the Evid lomeli. We have the words hakel shachtim, which will mean the Evid, and shchitas and ksheira means the Evid. It's a redundancy. If we'll say hakel shachtim means l'chatchila, Ashchitas and Ksheira means b'diavad, so we can understand all the wording of the Mishnah. But if not, if it all means just b'diavad, there's a terrible redundancy here. And as the Rashba explains, this was Rav Ashi's question from the beginning, that it's redundant. Rav Acha misunderstood Rav Ashi's question, and therefore he went off on a different track, and now Rav Ashi's correcting him and telling him, this is what I meant to ask all along. Asked Ritva, so why didn't he correct him right away? So Ritva says it's an important klal for Shas. L'hagdol Torah l'hadira. We want to learn, we want to explain many Mishnayos, even though Rav Ashi could have immediately corrected Rav Acha, we would have missed a beautiful, almost blot of Gemara. We don't want to miss that blot. So now, the Gemara is going to begin offering many different terutzim to this question. And again, the Mishnah, just to help us introduce to this Gemara, is going to be divided into three categories. What does Hakel Shachtim come to teach us? What does Shchitas and Ksheru come to teach us? And what does Vachem Roin as Shchitas and Ksheru, the Kun Shachtim Vachem Roin as Shchitas and Ksheru come to teach us? The first teretz. Amar Rabbi Ba'ula, Hachitani, Hakel Shachtim, Vafila Tamei, B'chulin. Even somebody who's Tamei may Shecht Chulin. Ask the Gemara, Tamei B'chulin Ma'ila Memra. Why should there be a problem if you're just shechting regular meat? It's not for carbon, so what's the problem that you're tamei? And as the Rishonim point out, that even though the halach is that you're not allowed to cause tumah in Eretz Yisrael, that's only on peiros, not on meat. And furthermore, even if we'll suggest, say the Rishonim, that one should not become tamei, and therefore by eating meat that's tamei, you're going to become tamei, we're talking about a person who's already tamei. So why shouldn't he be allowed to shecht? Answers the Gemara, there were individuals, b'chulin shenas al taras kodesh, that ate all of their chulin on kodesh. Pasha pshat is, because since there were so many kabbonis, and kabbonis obviously must be eaten with tahara, to avoid ever making an error, they even ate the chulin with tahara. Others say it's a level going very much back to the beginning of the shir. You are what you eat. And since you are what you eat, you want to eat the food with taras kodesh. The kasavar, and the Tana of our Mishnah is of the opinion Bechum shenasa taras hakodesh kekodesh dami. And therefore, keitzuru oisa. What is our Mishnah saying? If you have this animal that's kodesh, you have this animal that is chulin, but you want to treat it as kodesh, and the shoychit is tamei, what should he do? Maybe sakra ruka, he should bring a long knife, the shoychit ba, and he should use it for shchita, kedei shalayiga bebasar, in order that he shouldn't actually touch the meat and make it tamei. I asked the Rishonim that we know that food is not susceptible to tumah unless it gets wet. So where is it going to get wet here? So some say that because the blood of kachim specifically is not a machshir. So some say that's talking because of a concept that we learned about Sechta Menachas, chivus hakodesh machshartoi, and others say because the animal was washed right before the shechita, which is quite common, so it's still wet. But continues the Mishnah, megdashim lo yishchet, by kachim, we're more careful that we shouldn't let somebody whose tummy shechted, shema yigah bebas, because we're concerned that he may touch the meat. However, teaches us the Mishnah, v'mshachet if he shechted, v'am barali shloi negati, I'm certain I didn't touch it, shechtasin shera. Then we could be more lenient. Interesting question. How could it ever be that a tummy should shecht? The azara, a tummy is not allowed to go into the azara. So how does a tummy come into the azara to shecht? So some say we're talking about a bama. Some say that he became tamei when he was in the azara, and therefore he's allowed to remain. Others say that he's standing by the doorway of the azara. And others say that we're talking about a b'di'evit. If he shechted and he says that he didn't touch it, it's fine. Chutz b'cherishayt v'katan, that feel b'chulin graded. That they may not shecht even chulin. D'evit namiloy. Shema yishu, going back to what I said at the beginning of the shir, they may pause the middle of shechita. Shema yidrusu, they may not make halacha vayva. V'shema yachlidu, they may put the knife under the simonim, not above the simonim. What about the other issues that I mentioned about at the beginning of the shir? So Rashi says all those other things are noticeable. Ask the Rishonim, but you can't tell if the knife had a pegima, if it had a nick. So they say you could always inspect the knife afterwards and see what it looks like. Ask the Gemara if that's the way we're explaining the Mishnah. Let's continue learning. The Mishnah concluded, what is the case that's being referred to a high? That the Mishnah is teaching us that a chereshoyt of a cotton may not shecht. But if somebody else observed them, but the evidence is fine, so the word the kulon is inappropriate. And what the Mishnah should have just said is that these individuals who just said should not shecht, vim shachtu vibayle. Ela atame bechulon. It's talking about Tamar B'chulin. So tomorrow, Ha'amrit, L'chatchila, Namishachet. We just said that he's allowed to shecht, L'chatchila. So why is it only Kashim B'dievit? Ve'ela Tamar M'gdashim. That it's real Kashim. Ask the Gemara, B'bari Lisagi. We don't need that he should tell us. It's just that we should observe him. Him telling us that he didn't touch it is enough. Answers the Gemara, the Leisa Kamand in the Shalim. That he's not here. And that's why the Mishnah is teaching us as follows. If somebody who's tamei shechted an animal that's kachim, the halacha is as follows. If he tells us that he knows he didn't touch it, great. If not, he's not here to ask. We can rely on our observing him, and if we saw that he didn't touch, it's good enough. Ask the Gemara, is that what our Mishnah is coming to teach us? Hai tamei mikdashim mahacha nafka? Is that learned from this Mishnah? Mehasim nafka. There's a Mishnah Masecht Zvachim that says, kolap sum sheshachta shechtasan ksheira. And all these other individuals may shecht. So the question is, I don't need our Mishnah to teach us this halacha. We already learned in the Masechta Zvachim. Answers the Gemara, Hacha Iker. Really, our Masechta is the Masechta of Shechita. Hasim, I did a Tani Sharp Sulim, since we learned the others, Tananami Tamim Bekachim. So we mentioned this halacha, even though it doesn't really belong there. Vibayisema, another version, is Hasam Iker. Really, it belongs over there, Masech Tzvachim, where we learned the halachas of Kachim. The Kachim Koi. There's Hacha, I did the Tani Tamim Bechulin, since our Mishnah is teaching us the halach of Tamim Bechulin, that according to this Teretz, a Tamim Bechulin is Lechatchila Alad Shecht, Tani Nami, Tamim Bekadoshim. We learned this halacha, even though the main halacha has actually been taught in Masech Tzvachim.
Thank you.
halacha